Resource Committee is in session at 1:20. In attendance are Olson, Ramris, Seaton, Elkins, and Crawford. It's 1:20 in the afternoon. The bill that we're going to take up today is House Bill 307, the Kinnick River Public Use Area. We're joined by Representative Stoltz, the bill sponsor. Dick Miles from DNR, Divisions of Land, Mining, Water, is available to answer questions. Public testimony has been closed. The red light is on. And we're going to have a committee discussion, and then we also have amendments. Does anybody have any remarks on the bill, or should we go right to the amendments?
Let's move to the amendments.
Okay. With that, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move amendment number one, conceptual amendment number one.
Okay. The members have all the members have amendment number one in front of them? I presume so. Are there objections to amendment number one?
What?
You have any objections to amendment number one?
Go ahead and object so I can explain it.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to object? I object, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Hey, Representative Elkins, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For discussion, this adds after vehicle and non-motorized recreation opportunities, so that what we are doing is in the purpose of the Act, showing that this, clarifying that this bill is to promote existing and all kinds of recreational uses.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Amendment number one? If you maintain your objection, okay. Objection has been withdrawn. Amendment number one carries. Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move conceptual amendment number two.
Representative Elkins objects. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Conceptual amendment number two deletes the phrase on page 2, line 18, with the assistance of the Army Corps of Engineers. And the reason for this was stated in the last meeting, where we can get GIS maps that might interfere with the actual usage of the area.
Okay. Any further discussion on conceptual amendment number two?
I withdraw my objection.
Just checking with you. Everything okay?
I am sorry. I was just reading the sponsor there.
Oh, that's okay.
What?
Conceptual amendment number two was moved. Representative Crawford deleting. On page 2, line 18, deleting with the assistance of the United States Army Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm. Subjected to Representative Elkins withdrew his objection. I want to make sure that's okay with you. Do you want to repeat your rationale, Representative Seaton?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The problem was that having this requirement in here, we've found in the Homer area that there has been a GIS system in which everything is classified as wetlands, and then you have to prove that during no two-week period during the year is there water at less than a foot. There's nothing in this that would not require, by eliminating this, it doesn't eliminate that wetlands will be delineated. It just gets us out of the process of having this map control all our history.
Yes, Representative Stoltz.
Thank you. And I just, I guess I want for the record, and it's, I just want to make sure it's Representative Seaton's intent. I want to make sure that the commissioner still has the ability under as you're proposing this conceptual amendment to designate wetlands, particularly for habitat purposes. Is that your intent?
And through the chair.
Yes, sir.
And through the chair, this is exactly the intent, is the commissioner will drop these. He can use any resources he wants to, but we won't get into the problem that we've experienced on the lower Kenai of a imposition of a Army Corps of Engineers GIS map that is just delineation of everything, hillsides and all, as being wetlands, and then you have to prove each particular parcel is not wetlands. So that's what I'm attempting to avoid in this case.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fitch.
And I appreciate that intent, and I think it keeps the spirit and the intent of the bill, and it's, as I understand it, Representative Seaton is trying to keep an overly broad, one-size-fits-all policy from being attached to this, and I appreciate his sharp eye.
Okay. The objection has already been withdrawn. Anybody want to maintain, does anybody object to Amendment Number 2? Okay, seeing none, Amendment Number 2 carries. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Conceptual Amendment Number 3.
Representative Elkins objects for purposes of discussion. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Conceptual Amendment Number 3 addresses page 3, line 6, and it, following the word activities, inserts as compatible with the purposes under AS 1423-180. And the purpose of this is to make sure that the commissioner is directed to allow these uses consistent with the purposes of the act.
Okay.
And I might just explain that the purposes of the act were to provide for both vehicular and non-motorized recreational opportunities.
Okay. Is there any more discussion? Representative Elkins withdraws his objection. Amendment Number 3 passes. Are there any other amendments to 307? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering if, I think we had Mr. Milius on the line. The only other question that came up during public testimony that I would like some further clarification on is the definition of trails. And either the sponsor or DNR, if they could address that, I would appreciate it. It doesn't seem to be defined in here very well.
Okay. Dick, are you with us?
Oops. Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am. For the record, this is Dick Milius, Director of the DNR Division of Mining, Land, and Water. And I think it'd be hard to actually craft a definition of trails. As part of the planning process, one of the first things we would do, we would meet with all the user groups and try to identify what they consider important trails. But like a trail to a mountain biker is a lot different than a trail to somebody on an ORV, which is different than a horseback rider. So I think it'd be real hard to craft an actual definition of what a trail is.
Okay, Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I guess my question was, I couldn't tell under the under the section here as to whether this meant that any place that there was a track, then was the commissioner was directed to designate as a trail, or whether the planning process will look at the existing trails and look for the shall we say, normally used trails or multiple used trails, and that each track wouldn't be designated as a separate trail under the way the bill's written?
Representative Seaton, through the chair, our understanding is the way the bill is written is that we'd have the flexibility to identify what are important trails for different groups and to try to protect those trails, but it doesn't require us that any and every trail has to be either identified or management specified for every single trail. I think the bill gives us the flexibility through the plan to deal with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was the clarification that I wanted to get. I wanted to just make sure that the management plan had flexibility to do that. So,
okay. Is there any other discussion on 307? Representative Stolz?
If I might, on behalf of my colleague from East Anchorage, who's brought an issue before me, and it'd be a conceptual amendment to add, identify, and predict traditional cultural properties. And we've had conversations with Director Milius, and there may be federal requirements already, which I want to refine this language. Representative Crawford is, and I have talked about this, and I will take this issue on to the Finance Committee as a commitment to him to look at this and make sure that this concern is covered fully in the bill, that doesn't become overly broad beyond the intent, and make sure it's drafted.
Representative Crawford, is that satisfactory to you?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Any other amendments or discussion on 307? Okay. Representative Seaton?
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion on the bill?
I believe so. Uh-huh.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move CS for HB 307 as amended with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Okay. Thank you. Seeing no objection, HB 307 passes from the Resource Committee. And with that, we're going to take up HB 484, the Fishery Association Reimbursement. And are you going to be able to stay with us, Representative Seaton?
Yes, I've got my staff going to come get me as soon as that. Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Will you state your name for the record?
Okay. My name is Linda Miller, and I'm staff to Representative Peggy Wilson.
And for the record, I saw Representative Wilson a little earlier today, and she's alive and well and healing and feeling a lot better, I think. And but we're delighted to have you here today to offer testimony on House Bill 484.
Thank you. So go ahead and start.
Please.
Okay. In 2002, the Alaska Legislature created salmon fishery associations under Alaska Statute 16.40.250 to encourage fleet reduction in the Alaska salmon fisheries. Salmon fishery associations may be formed in salmon fisheries throughout the state to facilitate a permit buyback program. This means that a group of fishermen may form an association and vote to assess themselves for purposes of buying back salmon permits in their fishery. Under this program, the Southeast Saners joined together and formed an association to facilitate fleet reduction for their fishery. One of the concerns raised by the Saners was possible future action by CFEC to sell more permits. They ask, what would happen if we assess ourselves to buy back these permits, then at some point in the future, the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission sells permits back to the fishery? Their dilemma was that they wanted a guarantee that they would get reimbursed for the money they expended if that actually happened. HB 484 answers that question. The committee substitute for House Bill 484 that is before this committee is a housekeeping measure to clarify what may happen to the revenue if the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission should find it necessary to sell permits that have been relinquished under the buyback program authorized under Alaska Statute 16.40.250. This bill makes it clear that in the unlikely event CFEC sells more permits that were previously purchased by an association, the legislature may appropriate money back to that association. The change from the original version to the current CS before you is to make it clear that the fishery association that actually did the buyback is the fishery association that may receive the payback. Under this bill, the legislature may appropriate revenue from a permit sale to the association that paid money or incurred debt to remove the permit from the market in the first place. The state, through CFEC, has a responsibility to monitor each limited entry fishery. In the event the CFEC determines more permits are needed in a salmon fishery through an optimum number determination or a court action, the provisions of House Bill 484 would apply. This bill is supported by the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, who worked with the Southeast Saners in developing their association. Frank Homan, chairman of CFEC, and Jerry McCune from the United Fishermen of Alaska are both here today to answer any questions that you may have. I ask for your support for the committee substitute for House Bill 484, Fishery Association Reimbursement, and thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the sponsor, Representative Seaton?
Thank you. On page one, line eight and nine, I'm trying to just get on the record the intent of the bill, where it says, "Any resulting revenue for reimbursement or to retire any outstanding debt." The intent here is just the amount of revenue to reimburse them. In other words, if the permits would sell for five times what the original purchase by the Seniors Association would be, the intent here is that they would be reimbursed for their original purchase amount, not the entire amount of money that might be received by the state of Alaska. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, that's my understanding that that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Representative Elkins?
Now, my question is, why may appropriate instead of shall?
Through the chair, Representative Elkins, it's because of the way that the Alaska Constitution is. That's my understanding.
Representative Elkins.
Well, what's the guarantee that they will do it then? I mean, that's my...
Through the chair, Representative Elkins, that's actually a good question. Good faith, I suppose.
What?
It wasn't your microphone. It's okay.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have a little problem with the good faith part, I got to tell you. I think the intent of this legislation is excellent, but without a guarantee, I can see it not happening.
Representative Seaton?
Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering, is the reason why it's may instead of shall is for dedicated funds prohibited under the Constitution, and so that all of these times where we pass a law, whether it's for ASME, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, or Aquaculture Association, those revenues that are collected all are distributed back on a may basis because the Constitution prevents us from putting in a dedicated fund?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, it's my understanding that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Elkins?
Well, it doesn't say it's coming out of a dedicated fund. It says may appropriate from the, I assume, from the general fund. And anyway, I still have a problem with it.
We have Frank from the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission here. Frank, can you add anything to that and help us puzzle through this?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Frank Holman with the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. The opening statement that you heard was pretty well sums it up for this bill, and we just wanted to reiterate our support for the bill. The may in there is typical of a number of pieces of legislation where money comes to the state and the state may appropriate it back, and that's been advised for some time by the Attorney General to avoid a dedicated fund situation. So the legislature always has the last word on any appropriations.
Representative Seaton?
Is your understanding also that this bill, the way it is written, would result in the amount being requested for reimbursement if the more money was generated from the permits than if they were sold for five times for what they were purchased at, you would reimburse the association for their costs, but any additional monies would be left with the state of Alaska?
Mr. Chairman, that's my understanding. Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Are there any questions for Jerry with the United Fishermen of Alaska?
I'd like to hear from Jerry.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
Afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McCune. I represent United Fishermen of Alaska. We put this together quite a long time ago trying to figure out options for fleets to have a way to reduce the permits or fleet consolidation. And there's always been that one little nagging question out there. If a court decided that you took too many permits out of a fishery and made it too exclusive, then they could order permits put back into a fishery. So that was always a nagging question on any of this fleet consolidation that we talked about around the whole state. But at this time, there's only one association, and that's the Southeast Seniors have one association, but that doesn't mean there might not be other ones formed as we go along. But that's what it was intended for. This way, if there was some permits put back in and those permits were sold, then the association could get part of their money back. They could get some of their money back, wherever the legislature thought. You know, they could at least come to the legislature and ask whether they could get part of their money back on that they put out for permits that are going to be put back into a fishery. Same as the aquaculture associations, Mr. Chairman, that goes in the general fund. That has to be appropriated back out by the legislature to those associations also, whether it's ASME or that's just the way that our Constitution is and the way the Attorney General asked for that to be done.
Questions? Senator Representative Seaton.
Thank you. And you've heard my question before, and I just want, this is just for the public record to make sure that everybody has the same understanding. And is it your understanding that if the state sold these permits for many times what the Fishermen's Association had paid for the permits, that the Fishermen's Association, the intent of this bill is that they would be reimbursed for their payments, that this is not making a dedication of any and all monies that might be received by the state for sale of future permits?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, that's correct. If we had $15,000, say, out on permits, which is probably more like $200,000 or something, but anyway, once it all got going, if there was it would only be for the money that the association put out. It wouldn't be not, the rest would go into the general fund. That's what they're seeking, is the funds off the permits that were issued back. If you paid, for example, $75,000 for a seine permit, and you took out 100 of them, and then the court ordered 50 back, you'd be seeking to try to get the money for the 50 that you paid for that were put back.
Thank you for that clarification through the chair.
Are there other questions? Representative Elkins, are you satisfied with?
Yeah, I wish it was stronger, but that's fine.
Okay. Is there anybody else here for public testimony? Is there anybody online for public testimony? All right. With that, public testimony is closed. Is there any committee discussion on this bill?
We entertain a motion. Move it out of committee.
You know, how does the committee feel about it? I feel okay about it. We're missing four members today. One has a from a fishing region.
Let's move it.
Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, the one thing that I would say is that you know, we are missing Representative Ledoux, but she was co-chair of the Fisheries Commission committee, and this came through Fisheries. And since we haven't changed it here, I'm comfortable moving it if there's no objection.
Representative Crawford, how do you feel?
Sounds only fair to me.
Okay. Okay. With that, the chair would be happy to entertain a motion.
Motion to move committee substitute for 484 fish out of committee with attached fiscal notes and recommendations.
All right. Any objection? Seeing none, 484 has moved from committee. We are now up to HB 386, extend the North Slope severance tax credit. We recess for just a moment while we have ourselves together. Bill Van Dyke. Clock. All the members are still in attendance. We are going to take up House Bill 386 by Representative Coring and Charisse Millett, extend the North Slope severance tax credit. Representative Coring.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I really appreciate you hearing this legislation. House Bill 36 is going to be a familiar sounding bill to the members of the committee because it's the same thing that you took up in the PPT bill a couple of weeks ago that was moved out of this committee. It's not the same in its entirety. It's the same as far as the incentive portions of that legislation. Of course, the PPT involved increasing the tax rates, but we tried to make that bill better by rolling in the form of the CS, some things that essentially sweetened the pot, made it better for the industry in terms of incentives. And those incentives included providing tax credits against not just the production taxes, but other things like what are called bonus bids, and lease rental payments, property taxes, corporate tax liability, and so forth. So again, that was a part of this committee substitute that this committee passed when you moved that bill, whenever that was, 10 days, 2 weeks ago or so. And the reason we're bringing this before you is because of the volatility of the whole situation, the fact that your CS, which was, I thought, a good bill with those incentives anyway, there's no guarantee that that's going to ultimately become part of the law. And as a matter of fact, it's my understanding that the Finance Committee in the House is looking at taking that out, or might already have, and it's not a part of the Senate version as well. So your hard work in terms of making that bill better by including those credits, there's a good chance that might not be a part of law come the end of the session. So we thought we would continue with our legislation here in hopes that we can make this a part of the state statutes in the event that the ultimate bill of the governor's does not include these items. I wanted to introduce my Oil and Gas Committee aide who's with me, Charisse Millett, who is here to answer any questions as well and add any additional comments if needed. But if I may, just for a moment, reiterate some of the points just to refresh folks' memories here as to what was in that CS that included this bill. It was to provide those tax credits to offset taxes on oil and gas produced in the state. Those credits can, in fact, be sold to other companies if need be. The amount of expenses that could be claimed to apply toward your taxes are up to 40%. Not that the full 40% will be granted, but that will be the discretion of the department to provide once they've looked at the application and examined what credits are being applied for. It's been a fairly successful program in terms of encouraging more development in what we consider to be marginal fields. That's what we're mostly targeting here. There's currently 5 applications that are pending for a total of $15.1 million of credits. Those haven't been granted yet, but they're pending. And then there's been 7 since the onset of the program in 2001 that have, in fact, been granted, totaling $14.8 million. So it's not like it's a statute we put on the books and that's just been sitting there unused, as some bills end up being. This is one that's actually been used by the industry. I might point out that there's a lot of smaller companies out there that really have an interest in this bill and feel like this is going to make a difference in terms of developing in the state here. For example, there's a letter that should be in your packet here from 10 different small independents, including Anadarko, who we're very familiar with. And Mr. Hanley, the representative from Anadarko, was supposed to have been here, but he's testifying right now on the PPT legislation in another committee. I think it's House Finance at the moment. But he strongly supports the bill and has testified on its behalf previously. And then there's other companies. I won't name them all because you have that on your letter here, but it does enjoy strong support from those companies. Of course, it's who would not support this if you're in the industry and you have some tax credits available to you? But they did go out of their way to point out that this bill is very important to them because it does provide them with some good incentives. Also, there's a letter of support from Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Let's see, we've got some individual letters here too from companies including BG North America as well as Pioneer Resources that should be in your packet as well. If you don't have those, I'd be happy to provide those for you. So I'd respectfully request your consideration of this legislation, and again, I do appreciate the opportunity to present it to the Resources Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Coyne. Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a concern about expanding this to the property taxes as well. I mean, there's some municipalities, boroughs, and all that really depend on those property taxes, and wonder what kind of position that's going to put them in if they're all of a sudden cut out of that revenue.
Boy, yes. Charisse would like to address that.
For the record, my name is Charisse Millett. I'm staff reporting through the chair. It only applies to the state property tax. It doesn't apply to the municipalities. Only the state obligations. We didn't. This won't affect municipalities collecting their own portion of property tax. It's just separate.
Okay, I didn't see that in there.
It is. It's, if you look, it's under, if, just to a state tax liability. It's on page 2, line 16. I'm sorry, line 17. Or a state tax liability under AS 4320 or AS 4356. Just a state liability. It won't affect municipalities or boroughs.
Okay.
And Representative Cornyn, I'm sorry, Representative Olson.
You know, with all the work that we put into PPT as a full committee, I think that it would be my preference if we waited until we had the full committee and gave the full committee a chance to take a look at this. I think I will probably end up supporting it, but I don't think I could support it without the poor people that were missing having a shot at it.
Okay.
It's just my feeling. I think that with all the work and, you know, the 3 weeks that we put into PPT, that I think we'd be doing the other four members a disservice if we moved on this today. I don't know if that was your intention or.
My intention is to satisfy the concerns of the members, and so if that's your feeling, then we can have discussion today on this for the benefit of the members present, or we can adjourn for the day and take this up on Monday. Mr. Hanley hasn't come down. Representative Elkins.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with Representative Olson. I think it'd probably be prudent to wait for the full committee. Mm-hmm. The way I feel right now, I'm going to support this. I'm going to support it, but I think it'd be a good idea to wait for the full committee.
Okay, I share that opinion. I did speak with the co-chairman, and he did not represent that he had a problem to move credits, was the impression that he left me with, but I don't want to, we're not in any terrible hurry, so I haven't a problem. And without Mr. Hamley to offer testimony from the industry, if you have anything else to add, Representative Boring.
I'll say that I really appreciate your thoughts, and I'd be more than happy to come back on Monday, and or at a subsequent meeting, I should say, whenever you elect to hear the bill again. And
I will be back till Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, Thursday at work. Be out Monday, too. Okay.
But I do appreciate the words of support of the bill, and would be happy to address it again.
Wednesday. Give me a break.
Wednesday?
Yeah, we'll do it on Thursday.
Well, I think my plane gets in time to be here Wednesday, but I'd really like to be here.
You know, if I could add one more,
Representative,
one Olson. More thought. I think what separated our committee and the other committee and resources that was working on this is that at the end of the 3 weeks, we were still all pretty much, you know, trying to go in the same direction. I think that we might lose some of our friends if we
point,
let them into it.
Point well taken. And
I couldn't hear what the last thing you said was.
Oh, I said, at the end of the 3 weeks that we worked on PPT, we were all still speaking to each other and, trying to work our way through it. I think we'd be, we might lose some of that if we cut them out of the process on this one.
To that end.
That friend, now he didn't want to lose them.
Yeah, we might need them between now and the end of session.
Could be.
To that end, I'm Representative Cornyn. I'm on the later flight also, so I'm doing plane time at 2 o'clock on Monday. So Wednesday probably would be a better day to take it up also, just so we'd have the full benefit.
I'm not sure what time my plane gets in Wednesday, but I hope it's a good time.
Okay. All right. With that, then, I guess we'll adjourn for the day and take up resources next week. But you have some assurance that this will have no trouble passing. We'll just work
great.
Through it.
I appreciate that. Members of the committee, thank you very much for hearing the legislation.
Thank you. The Resource Committee is adjourned at 10 minutes after 2:00.